It's a big world.
It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk, reward, opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our world. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, being a freelancer, if you will. We seek to understand issues of labor and employment and finding work, even if you can't get a job, the issues of the economy and all these kinds of things. We seek to understand these things through the lenses of our Christian faith. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. My question for you in this episode of our program, and I'd love to hear your story. I'm here to respond to your questions and offer information to your situation, if you will. But my question for you is simply this. Tell me what you think about this. What are your greatest challenges in planning and executing your career or planning for your retirement? What are the greatest challenges facing you in planning your career or your retirement? We have a crisis going on in our country, and I don't mean that to sound alarmist or extremist, but frankly, our governments won't tell us that this is a crisis. Most of the financial and business news media doesn't even recognize that it is a crisis. But we have a terrible problem, especially with younger adults, the millennial generation in particular, totally checked out of the labor force. We talk about that frequently here on this program, but young adults ranging in age to 18 to early 30s or so, many of them concentrated there in the middle, you know, early to mid-20s, somewhere in there, many of whom have graduated from college. They played by the rules so far as they could tell. They followed the directives of their parents, perhaps their youth pastor, directives of school counselors. They studied. They worked hard in school. They got the grades. They got into college or university. They earned a degree. And then they come out and they just can't get a foothold in the labor market anywhere. That is a very serious problem. I am of the conviction that the church should be speaking to that and addressing that and taking it seriously. Even if our government will not, even if the financial and business news media ignores it, that's a crisis. And then we have this other thing on the other end of the demographic spectrum, so to speak, and that's it's real, it's here, it's present for a lot of older adults, but it's going to get more and more problematic in the coming decade to 20 years or so, and that is a looming retirement crisis. Baby boomers in particular, but then a fair number of the Gen Xers, such as myself, who reach the supposed retirement years, and they go, well, I didn't save enough money. Nobody told me about this. What do you mean Social Security is being denied to me? And those kinds of things. Those are the problems that we've got on our hands. That begs the question, what are your greatest challenges with planning your career or your retirement? Talk to me. Tell me how that's going. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll get to your calls coming up just in a few minutes, actually. Also, later this hour, some thoughts on the ongoing tension. I mean, it is just getting to be sort of a fever pitch, if you will, the tension over freelancers. Some people refer to the freelance economy. And by the way, a gentleman who's been on this program, I can't recommend his book enough, a gentleman named Robert Dickey. He's got a new book out. You've heard me talk about Robert Dickey. His book is called The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career in Our Part-Time Economy. Prior to talking about it here on the program, I had read chunks of it, segments of it. But about a month ago, Moody Publishing, which is also the label that publishes my book, The Virtues of Capitalism, Moody finally sent me a full hard copy of the book. I have been reading this, And, man, the sections that I read were great, such that I went ahead and recommended it. I'm reading the whole thing now, you know, like cover to cover. This is good stuff. You need to get this. The Leap by Robert Dickey. Robert Dickey, in his book, lays out some of the reasons why we've got such a stagnant level of job creation in our country. But I'll tell you, and it also paints a very vivid picture to say the freelance economy, being a freelancer, is becoming more the norm than it is just, you know, getting your degree and then going out in the marketplace, uploading a resume to somebody's website, and boom, you get an interview and an employment position. Freelancing is becoming more normal. Employment is becoming less normal. And that's just a reality, okay? In that context, we've got people who have taken it upon themselves, and God bless these folks. I mean, there is godly biblical virtue for the person who says, I'm going to take up my cross and follow him, so to speak. Even if they're not doing this out of a devotion to Christ, there is godly biblical virtue, I do believe, and somebody who says, I'm not going to sit around and remain stagnant. I'm not just going to become a dependent on my parents or on society or on friends or family members. I'm not going to be content to just live out a life of idle time. I'm going to get out there and freelance and make some money doing some legal thing, providing some kind of service to people on some level. That's what the freelance economy is about. And yet we are in this environment culturally here in the U.S., and this is happening to some degree in Canada and in other parts of the world, but I really do believe it's worse here in the U.S. than other parts of the world, where freelancers and the companies that enable the freelancers to do what they do en masse, they are just getting attacked all over the place. And you and I, as thoughtful people seeking to try to be a follower of Christ in a very complex world, we need to understand what's going on here. So I'll get into a fair amount of detail over the freelancers coming up here in just a few minutes. And when I speak of the freelance economy and the companies enabling the freelance economy to move forward, I'm talking about web platforms like Uber.com, the ride-sharing service that's distributed online, and Airbnb.com, the company that distributes freelance housing services. You know, stay in my room overnight, rent a room in our house kind of thing. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we should be able to figure out as civil grown-up adults in America. But my goodness, these very basic things are so politicized and so co-opted by government bureaucrats and politicians. It's really difficult to see the forest through the trees and figure out who's the good guys and who's not. But we should be encouraging freelancing, I believe, in the church, not bashing on it. But I'll tell you more about what's going on that front coming up a little bit later this hour. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What are your greatest challenges in planning your career or your retirement? If there is a millennial in particular that is in your household, in your family, and they're just really struggling, tell me about that, if you would, please. Let's see if we can get some good solutions and some good things going. I believe that the church needs to rise up and minister to these people. If you're struggling with retirement, let me hear what's going on in that regard, if you would, as well. 877-933-2484. Closely akin to the controversy, I'll tell you the connection here in just a few moments, but closely akin to this controversy over freelancers in our economy. I got a question here for you. This has to do with the retail sector of our economy. What do the names Staples, Abercrombie & Fitch, Radio Shack, and The Gap all have in common? Let me say that again. What do the names Staples, Abercrombie & Fitch, Radio Shack, and The Gap, what do they all have in common? Now, for one thing, and this is probably so obvious when I say this, you're going to say, well, I already knew that. Those are all names of American retailers, right? Many of them do business in Canada. If you're listening to us in one of the provinces, you're, I'm sure, familiar with those stores. Okay. Here's something else they all have in common. Every one of those national retail chains, guess what they're doing? This is very interesting. All at the same time, they are closing down stores. Now, the circumstances in each one of those national retail chains is, you know, it's all different. But Radio Shack in particular, that whole entire company went through a bankruptcy, and they got bought out by another company, and that's still being settled out by the courts, and they're merging with a portion of the Sprint mobile phone company, and it's kind of a big mess, quite frankly. As a matter of fact, I had a very unfortunate situation. This is kind of a teachable lesson. The lesson here, this is just sidebar stuff here. This is ancillary, okay? Let this be a lesson to you. If somebody gives you a gift card to a retailer, whether it's, you know, a large national chain or even a local company, if somebody gives you a gift card, use it sooner rather than later. I found in a closet just about 3 weeks ago, a gift card to Radio Shack that my son gave me about 7 years ago. Now, he's 16 years old. He's in high school. But when he was in elementary school, he saved up his money, and it's just so sweet. He spent the big $10 and bought Dad a gift card to Radio Shack, knowing that Dad likes gadgets and electronics. And, you know, I'm sure my 9-year-old son at that time thought, well, this will be cool. We'll take a trip to Radio Shack together and we'll look at stuff, right? About 2 weeks ago, my son and I went into Radio Shack, and I thought I was going to redeem my $10 gift card to Radio Shack, and we were going to buy some electronic components for a project that my son and I are working on. And they said, oh, we don't honor the gift cards anymore. Sorry, you know, we're not really Radio Shack anymore. Oh, sure, it says Radio Shack on the door, but we're a different company, and there's a lawsuit pending, and if the court sides with the people who hold the gift cards, you can go to our website and apply for reimbursement or whatever. And it's just a big mess. Now, at the end of the day, is that a big deal? No. It's $10 for me, although the clerk at the Radio Shack store told me that Radio Shack estimates that there are people just in the United States who hold about $43 million worth of gift cards that have not been reimbursed. Whew! So, yes, that's a big line item in the whole mess of a bankruptcy and reorganization, right? Anyway, Radio Shack is teetering, and they're in the merger process and all that kind of stuff. But back to my point here. Staples, Radio Shack, The Gap, and Abercrombie & Fitch, they are all on the in the process, actually, of closing down stores. And why is it that they're closing down stores? Here's the biggie. This is the big elephant in the living room, and I'll connect the dots here on this issue and the broader issue of the freelancer stuff that we were talking about in a few moments. Every one of these retailers, there are other retail chains across the country that are closing stores, but all these retail companies are saying, we can't compete with Amazon.com. We can't compete with one website, Amazon.com, that sells products and services from darn near everybody across the world. We can't compete with that one web portal, Amazon.com. Now, you have to ask yourself, well, why couldn't, you know, Staples.com, why couldn't they be competitive with Amazon.com selling their own materials, their own products through their own website? That's a very important question. The answer to that is very lengthy. I mean, all four of these retail chains, Abercrombie & Fitch, Staples, Radio Shack, The Gap, they've got their own branding problems and their own systemic problems and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, people are going to the web, one-stop shopping at Amazon.com. Amazon is a clearinghouse for everything, right? People are buying their things more and more often online and less often in the traditional brick-and-mortar retailers. This is what we call in business terms a business disruptor. And this whole competition between online sales and what we call traditional brick and mortar store sales, that's been a dilemma for a good 12 to 15 years or so. But people are really, really upset about this. And if you and I understand this shift in the economy, and well, if we're paying attention to this, rather than just sitting in panic saying, oh my goodness, jobs are going to be lost, which there are job cutbacks at all four of these retail chains, rather than just fussing and being fearful about jobs being cut, if you and I understand what's going on here, we can take advantage of the opportunity. And this is where the church comes in. Hello, church. Are you listening? The church can help people who are employees of these stores or would-be retail employees, the church can better assist people in navigating the shifting terrain as well. We can minister to others if we understand some of the the basic economic dynamics that are underfoot here. But I'll tell you what this Amazon.com dominance means for the freelance services industries, you know, the ride sharing and the room sharing and all that stuff when we come back here. But let's talk. When we come back from the break here, we'll discuss ways in which to navigate this shift away from brick and mortar and towards online and how to take advantage of it. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484. Well, as we take a break, go check and see if you have any gift cards piling up and plan to use them this weekend. 877-933-2484. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Glad you're with us. Don't go away.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Thanks for being here. I am in the house every weekend here at this same time on this and all the great affiliates of the Faith Radio Network. You can find our program at austinsbigworld.com. That's austinsbigworld.com. Lots of insider information about business ownership, being an entrepreneur and such. And our archived audio is at myfaithradio.com. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. 877-933-2484. What are your greatest challenges in planning for your career or your retirement? That's my question for you. I'm here to help with your questions and comments about entrepreneurship and being an independent worker. Barb is up next in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Barb, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hello. Yes, my question is, I started doing a small business. Well, I didn't. I just started doing something part-time, and then it has really grown.
Yes.
And is there a certain level of income which I need to make before I start paying taxes?
I'm hard-pressed to determine when our federal government says you should not pay taxes. There are some circumstances there. Tell me just a little bit more about the business. Is this income you're deriving as an independent contractor? What is it that you're doing for a business?
I am grooming dogs.
I'm sorry?
I am grooming dogs.
Breeding dogs, okay. And so you're providing a service as a freelancer to people. You're not anybody's employee, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, here's, and I'm glad you asked this question, and I appreciate it very much. Here's what you need to bear in mind. Indeed, the IRS has its own specifics, its own definitions of what constitutes freelance work and independent contract labor, to use the technical IRS definition. And the IRS has very distinctive ways to distinguish that from being an employee. It sounds like you're clearly an independent contractor. However, I'm also here to tell you I'm neither a tax accountant nor an attorney. I'm always quick to point out to people who are doing a business on the side, don't take this lightly. Don't go too far with this before you get some advice from an accountant or an attorney, or preferably both. Because at the end of the day, you're probably going to need to report whatever income you derive. And here's another thing. You need to be very, very careful. And Barb, I'm saying this for you, but this is true for me and for all of us. You need to be very, very careful that what you're doing for a business is in compliance with city, county, state, and federal regulations. I don't know if in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, if there's some requirement. I'm sorry, Cedar Falls, Iowa. I don't know if there's some sort of requirement for licensure to breed dogs. There may very well be. And I don't know if Barb has looked into that or not, but we all need to be very, very careful about this. And I wish it weren't the case, but city, county, state, and federal government agencies are onerous right now in this, at this point in our nation's history. And they'll get you. They will, I've said it this way before, they will turn anybody upside down to shake change out of their pocket if they think you've been in violation of either the tax code or other regulatory policies. And not only if they catch you, your local officials catch you doing business, quote unquote, without proper licensure and permits and such, not only will they fine you for being out of compliance, they in most cases will fine you for however long it's been that you've been out of compliance. In other words, the penalty will be retroactive. So, Barb, I would caution you and advise you strongly to get input from a tax accountant and an attorney. And by the way, if you get over to austinsbigworld.com, there's an article there that I wrote with one of our recent interview guests. It's called Before You Freelance, and attorney and former prosecutor Alex Kincaid. She laid out how people can get themselves in serious trouble for freelancing without the proper legal issues being settled up. So visit austinsbigworld.com. Check out what attorney and former prosecutor Alex Kincaid has to say, and we'll take it from there. But get some advice. That's somebody in your local area who knows the local regulations and such. 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hills Big World, the small business. Back in moments.
We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hills' Big World of Small Business.
Our number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. We seek to understand work and labor and business and the economy and job creation and unemployment, all these things, through the lenses of our Christian faith. 877-933-2484. As much as I am a fan of freelance labor, and I've done one form or another of freelance labor for probably a majority of my adult life. I'd have to crunch the numbers here. I'm so old, but I believe I am of the conviction that we need to be encouraging freelance labor in our economy and in our country. And the church needs to take the lead on this. We need to open up our eyes, breathe deeply, smell the French roast, if you will, and understand how the economic picture in our country is changing rapidly, dramatically. And we need to start talking about work, the moral virtues of work. You know, earlier in the week on another program that I do, a lot of listeners to this program are familiar with another show that I do during the weekdays, more of a general issues kind of discussion. But I was ready, we were in the studio a couple of days ago, and I was recording an interview with a gentleman named Dr. Russell Moore. Russell Moore, who's with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Conference at the Southern Baptist Convention. That's a division of the Southern Baptist Convention church denomination, largest Protestant church denomination in North America, by the way. But on a completely different subject, Russell Moore sort of brought to our discussion the fact that Christians need to live out a conviction and a belief in the value of work. W-O-R-K. I mean, where you were talking about something completely unrelated to business, and there's Russell Moore, a very influential man in American Christianity, and I would say in Christianity worldwide, saying churches need to get back to talking about work. When was the last time you heard a pastor talk about the biblical, Christ-like virtues of labor? I love the pastor of my church, and it's probably been, I'm guessing, 14, 15 months or so since we had heard a discussion about that from the pulpit. And prior to that, prior to the church that my wife and son and I are committed to now, I don't think I ever heard a sermon about work. This is New Testament stuff. It's Old Testament too. But the idea that work is virtuous and necessary, and we've got to get back to that conviction among Christians in America. And from there, when we look at the freelance economy, it's unfortunate that we have such lackluster job creation going on in our country. Robert Dickey, in his new book, The Leap, he spells out some of the public policy reasons why companies are not hiring more, why they're offloading the work that they need to get done to freelancers rather than creating employment positions. As a free people here in the U.S., and if you're in Canada, you've got a different deal up there. And in many cases, Canadian public policy is far more rational and reasonable on the fiscal side of things than we are here in the U.S. But in America, we ask for this. Either we proactively ask for our government to take over the healthcare and medical professions and the insurance industry and saddle all the employers with these onerous requirements. They have to provide this benefit and that benefit and this time off. And people are choosing all over the country, double the minimum wage, these kinds of things. And then they're shocked when companies go under after the new law is passed. We're going to have to wake up one of these days here in the U.S. and realize that the needs and interests of the business owner are very unique. They're not all that different from our own personal household budgets, but they're a lot heavier of a burden, so to speak. Got to start respecting the plight of the business owner and all the labor, all the effort, all the risk that goes into job creation in the first place. And we're just not there yet. So we've asked for this in our country. This is the kind of governance that we've asked for in America. We should expect lackluster job creation in most sectors of the economy. From there, where do we go? Well, freelancing is happening in a big way, and we should be fanning the flames of people's initiative. That's a godly biblical virtue. We should be encouraging it. But I'll lay out some of the details of this current debate over freelancing in our country in just a few moments. I wish it weren't so onerous and so difficult to be a freelancer, but relative to what I was speaking about with the previous caller, don't enter this into this terrain. Don't just say, well, I've decided to freelance, and pay no attention to IRS regulations and local and regional business regulations from your city and county governments. Get over to austinsbigworld.com. Check out the article, Before You Freelance. Give some great tips from attorney and former prosecutor Alex Kincaid. She spelled it out in great detail here on this program, the things you got to watch for. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Cassie is up next in Minneapolis, listening to us on Faith 90.7 FM. Cassie, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I was thinking about my nieces and nephews and their search for employment. They are in their early 20s. And as I see it, the greatest challenge that they have and young people have is courage. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, we're told that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline or sound mind, self-control, however you translate that. And these are Christian kids brought up in the church, and they still have this fear of just putting themselves out there, a fear of rejection, and get up and try harder again the next day. It seems like if they're rejected, it's their generation, and it's the, I got a gold star for everything I did in school, and I, golly, if somebody doesn't like me, I've just lost the TV ratings for the week or something, because everybody's a star with a selfie. Yeah. And that has worked to their detriment, I think.
It has. I hear what you're saying. I if you don't mind me asking, Cassie, this niece and nephew or whatever the relationship is, these young people in your family, did either of them participate in extracurricular activities when they were younger? And in particular, I'm wondering, did they participate in sports? Because I'll tell you, the one place in the life of a young person where things are allowed to be rough and tumble, I get the coddling kind of culture that's given to young people today that you're describing, but the one place where that coddling doesn't happen so much is in competitive sports. You know, the team goes out on the field, both of them, and one of them leaves the game a winner and the other leaves a loser, and you pick yourself up and you try again. Those are great virtues in sports. Did either of the kids in your family play sports?
You ask a very interesting question. They are a set of twins. The boy is small in stature, and he was in a high school outside of Dallas. My sister put them in two different schools, and he was small and could not compete in sports. I think he tried wrestling for a while, but frankly, along his journey, he got with the kids that weren't in sports, and sometimes that was not always a good thing. The girl, on the other hand, that went on the dance team and all of this at her high school, and she ended up leading the dance team, and it was all about, you know, the makeup. And so now you go to get a job, and it's just you. You're not part of the team, and you're not a star, and you're not the leader. And guess what? When you work for somebody else, you have to take orders from them. You don't give orders. This is not a democratic operation. They're paying you a fine wage to do what they're telling you to do, and you have to get along with other people. I see the tension, and it's not just my niece and nephew. I see this around me, that I think in the church as well. It certainly should be addressed. And where's the emphasis on 2 Timothy 1:7?
Yeah.
We're not hearing that.
Yeah, I hear you. How are your niece and nephew, just real quick, how are they doing in terms of figuring out their careers and work lives and such?
One went ahead. They both took jobs they didn't want. They both did that. Mm-hmm. And they're getting something on a resume. They're building a resume, and my niece was able to find employment in an office where she doesn't have to get along with anybody else, and she kind of has some freedom. She's her own boss. She reports to a boss, but she doesn't have to take direction from peers around her. So that has worked for her. It's not ideal, but she's made enough money to get an apartment. The boy has found a job. He likes working outside, and for a while he just picked. He was up here in Minnesota picking in the field.
Yeah, interesting. Cassie, I appreciate the call. I certainly commend your niece and nephew for, heaven forbid, taking a job that they didn't like. That's good. I'm being a little flippant here and a little facetious, but I don't know where we succumb to this idea. The culture says, hey, find something that you really love doing and something that taps into your passions and your creativity and pursue it. And, you know, just do what you love and the money will follow. That was a book title, by the way. It was a great book. But that, you know, if you don't read the depth of the book, do what you love and the money will follow. That's just that sentence is kind of a pretty shallow credo to live by. The church has succumbed to that. We've bought into that notion that somehow the work market is all about me and my feelings and my emotions and holding my interests and holding my attention and my passions and, you know, what can I do whereby when I do it, it just doesn't even feel like work. It's all about me. And then young people get out into the marketplace and guess what? It has to be about other people. Yeah, no business survives if they're just obsessed with themselves. Every kind of successful business enterprise, and by the way, I would say this is true for all ministry enterprises as well, hello, all business enterprises have to focus first and foremost on customers and prospective customers. If my company is going to be of any interest to you, if this radio program is going to be of any interest to you, I've got to be saying things and delivering things that are of interest and are enlightening and informative and engaging for you first and foremost. That's true of any business enterprise. By the way, on the market competition end of things, as Cassie was describing her niece and nephew, and sort of the coddling culture that has been given to young adults in particular throughout most of their childhood. You know, she described it as the everybody gets a gold star. You could characterize it in the real early years as everybody gets a trophy, you know, non-competitive community sports for little kids and those kinds of things. We are seeing some of the effects of that. I will tell you that. And I'm always intrigued. I'm not a huge sports fan. I'm not a huge sports guy. But one of the things that I really appreciate about collegiate and professional sports is the rough and tumble, downright winner, loser, take all kind of competitive nature about it. I mean, the sports Sports is the one arena in American society still today where we accept the fact that there are winners and there are losers. And we don't take points off the scoreboard from the winning team and, you know, knock them down a notch or two and give the points to the team that's trailing in the third quarter or whatever. We don't do that. We do that in the business marketplace. Raise taxes on the rich and give more free stuff to the people who don't have anything. You know, penalize companies that are really successful, bash on them and tax them more and those kinds of things. We do that in the business arena, but we don't do it in sports. Sports is one area where young people can learn to go out and play the game and do the best you can. And when you fall down, you pick yourself up and move on. I'm not a huge sports guy. My teenage son is not a huge athlete either, but I have had to strategically find other ways in which my son can learn competition. And I just think that's so crucial. And we've got, I'm afraid, too many millennials in the job market who are in some way or another just shocked that people haven't just handed down opportunity to them. There's all kinds of other systemic problems, and the millennial generation has enormous value to offer the marketplace, but they have been, I fear at times, kind of ill-prepared for adult life. Anyway, more on that in moments. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. That's our number. My question for you in this episode of our program, what are your greatest challenges to planning a career or retirement? We'll continue in moments with more. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go away.
Small business drives our economy, and that's why we're talking about it. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
And we're being very careful how one defines a job because because the law makes a distinction between a job, an employment position, and freelance labor. And it's oftentimes very difficult to get a clear distinction from the government on that until it's too late. That's why I'm always quick to point out, get advice. Talk to your tax accountant, talk to a tax attorney before you jump in and freelance. Nonetheless, freelancing is a very legitimate means of making money and making a living, and we talk about it here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. The number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So what does Amazon.com have to do with Uber.com, the ride-sharing service provider, and Airbnb.com, the room rental service provider? Here's something to wrap your minds around. And this is the wild frontier of the world of the internet that we live in right now. And the church, I believe, needs to get up to speed like yesterday on these changes in our economy. But here's the deal. Amazon.com is a global leader in retail distribution and retail sales. And you know what? So far as I'm aware, they own zero stores. Uber.com, Uber.com, they are the world's, I know this for a fact, they are bar none the world's largest distributor of private transportation services. And they own zero vehicles. Airbnb.com is rapidly becoming the world leader in room sharing and lodging service distribution. Notice I'm using the word distribution here with Amazon, Uber, and Airbnb. Airbnb.com is becoming the world's largest room service and lodging distribution, and they own no homes or houses or hotels or motels. We are in the era where the web interface is beginning to dominate the business market. Amazon.com is merely, look at it this way, they're merely an interface between potentially millions of people around the world, I would imagine, who make products and have services, and want to distribute them to consumers. Amazon.com just interfaces between product and service providers and people who want to buy those products and services. Same thing with Uber. Uber is the web interface between those who need a ride from one end of the city to the next and those who have a car and got some time on their hands and are willing to provide it. Now, that on the surface is not a bad thing. And for individuals who are willing to say, you know, I am going to follow godly biblical principles, whether they know it or not, trying to work and be self-sufficient and provide for oneself and one's household and one's family, that is a very biblical, very church, very New Testament, very Apostle Paul kind of way to live, quite frankly. Those who are willing to get up off the couch and say, I've got a car, I've got some time, I'm going to go do some rides here from time to time and bring in a little extra cash, or I've got a room in my house, I'm going to rent it out and bring in some money. We should be encouraging that, not bashing on it. But I want you to listen to how controversial Uber has become, even just in this conversation. This is with, you'll hear in this this commentary here, this is a host named Kate Rogers. She is a reporter and anchor at CNBC, the business cable channel. Here she is describing all the problems, the reasons why people are so upset, the taxi industry in particular, but city and county governments and even state governments in America, very, very disturbed by the success of Uber. Listen to this.
The reason? State says Uber hasn't complied with state laws in providing rider data as well as the zip codes that it's servicing. Now, in a statement, an Uber spokesperson said the ruling and fine were, quote, deeply disappointing, and added, we will appeal the decision as Uber has already provided substantial amounts of data to the California Public Utilities Commission, information we've provided elsewhere without complaints. Going further risks compromising the privacy of individual riders as well as driver partners.
Okay, now she's commenting specifically on the fact that Uber got fined tens of millions of dollars by the government of California, and the state government ordered Uber to shut down all their operations entirely, which is kind of interesting because Uber.com, the web entity, is headquartered in San Francisco, California. Fascinating that a government is so quick to try to shut down business that's bringing in tax revenue in its own state, right? But then Kate Rogers comes back around and says, but you know what? The politicians and judges and government officials are very hostile to Uber. But guess what? Consumers and service providers seem to love it. Listen to part two.
Business travelers are using Uber in record numbers. In the last quarter, Uber surpassed taxis as the most expensed form of ground transportation for the first time.
My goodness. Okay, so there's the rub, right? We're talking about market competition here. That's why this is the essence of it. And we need to understand in the church why all the controversy over this freelance business going on here. And this is not a political statement, but we need to be willing to look at government and government regulation and the functioning of governments. Governments at the city, county, and state level, they have pretty steady streams of revenue as they regulate and tax the taxi cab industry. You get all these freelancers coming in and saying, hey, I can do this too. Well, guess what? That disrupts the steady stream of tax revenue to governments. Now, I'm not suggesting that Uber drivers should pay zero taxes or operate with zero regulation. I will tell you, I'm a driver with Uber in my hometown. I have to have my vehicle inspected every 6 months. There are hoops that I have to jump through. I have to go to local officials and verify this and verify that. I don't operate with zero regulation here. So this argument that somehow the taxi drivers have all the regulation and the Uber folks get away with no regulation at all, that's just not true in most parts of the country. But politicians are reacting hostilely, if that's a word. They're reacting in a hostile fashion to people who are willing to work and to freelance and do a little extra work on the side. We have a voice in this country. We can say, no, let's find appropriate levels of regulation for the freelance drivers. And by the way, no disrespect here if you're a taxi driver. We respect and honor that. That's legitimate business. But you're not entitled to an environment where the government squelches out the competition. You're not entitled to a monopoly. Okay? That's what's going on here, and I strongly urge you, if there's maybe some debate or some consternation in your church or in your family or your community over freelance ride-sharing providers and Uber, please understand what's at stake here and understand that people being willing to freelance is a good and virtuous thing, and we should encourage them. On another front, very similar front but somewhat different, there's Airbnb.com. Listen to this gentleman, Brian Chesky. He's the CEO and the founder of Airbnb.com. That's the web interface that allows people to rent a room in their home to travelers. Part one of Brian Chesky commenting on the backlash against his company. Listen to this.
When we started, I said this is going to be huge. Thousands of people will use it one day. And that's what I thought would be huge, thousands of people. And then I never imagined maybe 35 million people have already used it. So I think the sense that this is not a niche thing, but this is becoming a mainstream way to travel, that's been pretty surprising to everyone, including myself. I think we're going to be part of the mainstream travel industry. And we are, in a sense, we really already are. So.
They absolutely are part of the mainstream travel industry. But Brian Chesky goes on to say, you know what? Government agencies are more hostile to what we do here in the U.S. than they are in Canada, in France, in the U.K., on the African continent, elsewhere around the world. We need to understand the public policy issues at stake, as well as the biblical and moral and ethical issues that are at stake when it comes to human work. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the man, he's talking to men predominantly, the man who is otherwise able-bodied and can work but chooses not to, he is as though he has lost his faith. That's a pretty big deal. Men, it's time for us to step up and lead the way. We should be equally as encouraging of women who want to work. And let's get our minds wrapped around the economics of our times and the business dynamics of our times. Let's start talking about work and labor to younger adults and even business in the retirement years to older adults. Let's make the church the place for this. We can do this. Let's get our sleeves rolled up and get to work. Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business is a production of Hill Communications, LLC. All rights reserved. Thanks to the team who makes it happen. Dick Whitworth, Neil Stavem, our studio engineer, Aaron McIntyre, and in the studio as well, Nathan Grizzle. Thank you for listening. Find me at austinsbigworld.com. That's our place in cyberspace. You can like us on Facebook and reach out on Twitter as well. I'll see you next weekend. Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.